What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Spectator Mode Podcast, the honor-hated premier gaming and geek culture podcast. And as you can see in front of your face, there's a lot of people on here today, so expect a lot of chaos. I am sorry, maybe not. And of course, we've got my buddy Carl, we've got Scott, we've got Get Silius, and we've got a newcomer to the show who has been on the show once, I believe, and he's back, Sean.
Hey, everybody.
So, believe it or not, we almost had six people. That would have been complete chaos. Real quick, before we get to the beginning of this show, I just want to say, everybody, thanks for checking out Spectrum Mode Podcast. Thank you for voting for us on the Apple Podcast. And if you haven't voted for us, why haven't you? Take your butt over to Apple Podcast, vote for us. Meanwhile, you can check us out on YouTube, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, which is going away, what we call YouTube Podcast, Amazon Podcast, and anywhere else you hear and watch great, amazing podcast. That said, if you like the show on YouTube, do us a big favor, like this video and subscribe to our channel, and tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell everybody, let them know that we exist and we are an amazing podcast. All right. So that way,
back up question day, Apple is being changed to YouTube Podcast.
No.
Google
Podcast.
Okay. I'm about to say, I'm like, well, that was too fast for me. I'm like, oh, man.
Google is now buying Apple.
I'm like, yeah, exactly. That was my brain. Like, no way.
Microsoft Podcast. Microsoft is buying Apple. There you go. You heard it here first.
Yeah, it's happening. And the Microsoft takeover is happening, boys. Oh, my
God. Apple products too soon on the Xbox Game Pass.
Forever running on Xbox. Oh, geez.
Does that mean
you can already play it. Well, you know, we'll talk about that. There's something Apple related that we didn't talk about. We will talk about that. Scott knows what I'm talking about. So we'll talk about that as well. But before we begin every podcast, after the introductions, we'd like to talk about games that we played. And since I'm first, I'm going to go first. And I'm going to say I've been playing a lot of Grand Blue Fantasy Relink. I am addicted to that game. Beat it on a PlayStation 5. Planning to get on the PC. The PC is the superior version. Sorry, console fanboys, but it is. The online is better. Let's be honest. The mods are out there too.
Everything. I've seen Hollow Live mods, Street Fighter mods. It's great. It's so good. It's a video game that you should probably play compared to some other video games. That's all I gotta say.
Yes, you should really play that. And it plays great on the Asus ROG Ally. It plays great on the Steam Deck. There's no reason for you not to play this game. The online component is much better as well. You don't need to pay for online. You can just jump in and, you know, I saw that face, Scott. You can just jump in and play with anybody on the PC side. Unfortunately, there's no crossplay, but maybe that'll come eventually. Maybe. But that has been the only game I've been playing this week that I actually can talk about. So that said, I'm going to give it to you, Carl, since you're next. What you been playing?
What have I been playing?
That's what I asked you.
Oh, what have I actually been playing? I haven't been playing a lot of stuff. Like, I did play Tekken 8 in regards to our review. So you check that out on our YouTube channel as well as theotherhaven.net. Other than that, I'm playing bits of Final Fantasy, really starting to get to the point where I'm like, I'm putting that game in a hibernation mode for a while. I have moved back over to Final Fantasy 14 just because I still have stuff left to do on there. And everything's nice and fine now because, like, even though people can't see it on this, I now own a nice big widescreen monitor and everything just looks oh so pretty. But outside of that, the game I picked up, this is going to scare a lot of people.
It's a physical game.
I can't see it.
Is that reboot? Is that reboot?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't
know how
good the graphics are. If it was the new reboot, it would scare some people. The old reboot is good.
Thank you for reminding me. I sold that to a store. So in order, I can eat lunch for that week. Thanks for reminding me.
Well, to be honest, it was only $5. That's the end.
Oh my God! I sold mine for $15 for a drink and some fries. Essentially, man, poverty is real. Poverty.
But yeah, outside of that, I really haven't been playing much. A lot of my activities have pretty much been cut off due to financial constraints. So it's like I've cut off like most of my subscription services at this point. So I haven't really been playing anything new or that unless we get it through review codes. So, yeah. So the latest thing would be Tekken 8. And after that, nothing. Because I'm poor.
I mean, you could be rich and still not play anything, so...
Yeah, but that'd be my choice.
That's
I mean, you could be sick and be rich and not play anything.
That's a hard. That's my fate, actually. I'll talk about it when it comes
to me. I mean, you don't want to be rich and, you know, not be able to play stuff because you're sick. But anyway, yeah, I'm screwing around. What about you, Scott? What you got?
Alrighty. So I also have been kind of addicted. Well, not kind of. I have been addicted to Grand Theft Fantasy Relink. I did the review on the PS5 version. I basically got almost everything done on the PS5. I have only like a few quests I still need to do, and most of those I didn't want to do because the AI in the game is great, but the problem is they will focus on anything you're not focusing on. So when you have like in the later missions, you have to fight like four or five boss enemies at the same time, and it is chaos because the AI people are fighting all other bosses than the one you're fighting. So everything is fighting everything else, and you'll just get so many people on different bloodlusts, which is really bad. You don't want to have five boss enemies all in bloodlust because then you're all just going to die. And that's exactly what happens.
Difficulty on that game is redonkulous, folks. Prepare to die a lot.
you want to have party members that are, you know, sentient that you can actually help communicate to go one boss after another boss after another boss, so you don't have a five bloodlust going on at you at once. It is not a good experience.
It's World of Warcraft. Focus on this boss.
Yeah.
Let the other one kick your butt while you focus on this boss. I swear to God it is.
Yeah, that's exactly so. I didn't want to do that on the PS5 until after online servers played. But once online servers got act online, I decided to go to the PC version because PC.
Better experience.
Yeah, I haven't used any of the mods yet. I'm not going to probably use any mods until I actually beat the game on PC. And then I can just have fun with whatever I want. But yeah, currently I'm at level 50 now on PC version. I've just been going and doing a lot of the quests and getting my characters. Well, getting the characters that I didn't play on the PS5 on the PC played out, which I think is actually really cool because anyone who's played Grand Blue Fantasy Relink knows that there's a lot of characters in this game and they all play vastly different. And I didn't want to do the same exact roster that I had in the first playthroughs of the game. So now I'm having a completely different roster and finding there's actually a lot more. There's a lot of fun to be had in trying out so many new characters. So I didn't even give the crewmate cards to any of the characters that I had in my base party that I got in the first playthrough right yet. So I am having a lot of fun trying to figure out different synergies with different characters that I haven't played with before. And right now my favorite character to play as is a fairy, who is one of the characters that uses a whip and can summon a bunch of animals.
Yeah, she's really fun.
She's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I use an EO, actually. I'm like, okay.
EO's really good, too, especially if you get her as a tank.
Yeah, she's very strong.
Make her a tank, give her stout heart, and just keep just using spells that do AoE everywhere, and she's just a boss.
Yeah. Could I put it?
So that's basically about with my main game, but I did start Persona 3 Reload yesterday, and I've been enjoying it so far. It does have not really a lot of differences, but in some of the pacing, it's a lot different because in the first Persona 3 game, it almost the first day, everything happens all at once. Whereas in Persona 3 Reload, they space it out for 4 or 5 days, which is probably, I think, better so that you don't have to basically go with the whole what the crap is going on in this game. Because I remember my first time playing Persona 3, I played it Persona 3 Portable. And I was super confused because there are so many things happening in just the beginning of the game. And they spaced it out in Reload much better, I think, that they did a lot better with the pacing and the writing so far this time around. That makes it, I think, the better experience, even if they don't have the female MC character, which is sad. But all right. Those are basically been my main two.
I see that Spider-Man book in your hand. But all right, what about you, Sean?
Sorry, I just got...
Wow, skipping me already. So how gracious of a host.
I mean, do you want to go?
If he's going to skip over, that's how we're doing it now. I mean, that's how we do it. Right?
I think he's doing round robin.
Yeah. No one round. Yeah, round and round we go.
Okay. So I've been playing Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. I love the first of the Ichiban series, so getting to play this one with Kiryu in it and then coming right up. I had just played Gaiden, so coming off of that and then having both of them in the same game and then them improving the battle system makes everything so much more fun. I love the fact that you can move around while you're, it's not just static and it's not just the enemies moving, it's you moving too. So it helps. And when you actually get to line up the attacks, it's fun. And Hawaii is awesome. It's like a much different kind of view for the series. And then I love how it's like just the small little things, like even changing the currency over and going there. And it's, I've just been in chapter 3 just doing different side stories right now, not even progressing the story that much just because I like the between the fighting and watching all the side stuff. And I've started Persona 3 just like Scott. I'm probably pretty early on. I haven't played Persona 3 before at all, so this is like my first experience with it. So yeah. Only thing I had done before was watch like the anime movies. So it's
yeah,
it's kind of like I'm experiencing that first part of the story again. But still, it's cool. It's cool to get to do all that. And yeah, just kind of those two right now for the most part.
All right. And we save the best for last. Matt, tell us.
All right. So I was playing Grand Blue Fantasy Relink, probably best game of February until Final Fantasy comes out. Just plan it right there. I spent the time my brother played P3R. I think people overhyped P3R because I have good memory of P3, the originals and other games. Essentially, in a nutshell, P3R is a like modernization of the original game with a lot of things taken out to make it easier. Basically, if you have good memory and remember the original game, this game might go, what are they doing here? But if you've never played it, yeah, it's okay. It's kind of a worse version than Golden, in my opinion, and World Royale, where they remove a lot of things that make P3 originally hard with difficulty, but just made it easier. So it kind of just feels like I just do whatever. That's how to put this. Making a game easier doesn't usually make remakes better. I mean, look at Super Mario RPG, Legend of Seven Stars. I mean, Super Mario RPG. Anyway, that's rant that one later. I've been playing a lot of King of Fighters 15 because Advancing Strike came out. It's a really cool mechanic. It's really just guesswork, a lot of stuff you can do with it. Holy, like, the stuff it beat and it doesn't beat, insane. Like, you could Advancing Strike, get empty jumped, and eat a full counter hit and die. That's insane. Good game. Balance, you know, what a fighting game should be. I played, during my time, I was sick for like 24 hours. I played a lot of Midnight Suns, and I ended stream early. I played a new indie game I recommend everyone try out called Go Mecha Ball. It's an interesting twin-stick shooter, roguelike, that uses pinball. Think of it as Sonic 3D Blast with an arena shooter combined with Metal Slug. It's actually chef's kiss of the arcade junkie experience. I highly recommend that game. If not, you know, go play Grand Blue Fantasy, really.
Actually, I have that downloaded on my Xbox. It's on Game Pass. So I need to go.
Oh, great. Yeah. Oh, great. You're not even giving people the money, all right? I mean, I'm actually want you to give them the money, but all right, sure.
All right. Well, we got a lot of stuff to get through. And first one up is Grand Blue. Wow, can't say it. Almost said Rising. Grand Blue
Rising is good, too, yeah.
Is a fantastic game, as we all said so far, and it's doing very good on Steam. Scott, how well is it doing?
So the concurrent player count for the weekend for Grand Blue Fantasy Relink is above 100,000 players, which for a game like this is very impressive because it's mainly an action RPG, but it has some online mechanics, which I'm assuming is one of the reasons why there's a lot of people online on the game. Just to note that when you have Steam players counted, if you're on offline, it won't count you in the players. But if you're online, it will count you in the concurrent players. So a lot of people are playing this game online. So, which is a good thing. Lots of people like playing this game online, which is, I think, a plus.
Yeah, it's a great game. I mean, the quests and the storyline are okay, but the game gets really fun when you're playing online with a bunch of people. You can't talk to them unless you're, you know, doing some kind of outside chat, which is great.
Yeah, Discord.
I don't really care too much about games that have its own built-in chat for various reasons, but being able to jump in with your friends on Discord or whatever is a very optimal situation. And this game can range from, you know, jumping in to play a quest and it takes a little bit to jumping in and smashing a boss head and that'll take 10 seconds, depending on how strong you are and what boss you're fighting. So right now, a lot of people like myself and Scott and Matt are in the jump online to farm mats so we can upgrade our stuff and get to Proud again and wait for the new the new DLC that's coming out. It has optimal optional quest, they said, that's going to be very hard. They're not really telling us anything about it. So there's a lot of stuff coming for this game. So, yeah. Definitely play it if you haven't played already. It's a lot of fun.
I would highly recommend playing it. And my, as my review also states, my only big complaint is how they do online. I wish that there was more to the online aspect and to the mechanic, but they know that most of the online play is going to be after the story mode happens.
Yeah, you really can't do online with, like, in the story mode or, like, to beat faster, but I guess so, sure. But you know what it is from there. That's actually the only complaint. And the second complaint is Percival, my main man. He's an arrogant SOB, but you know what? I wish he could just tone it down a bit. I mean, his link attacks with Zigger, he actually tells him that I expect better from my Vassal. If a teammate dies, he says, "Do not expect me to carry you." I'm like, this man is a hero. That's good stuff. Don't expect me to carry you. There we go. What a king. If you know his storyline, he wants to be a king, but he's, you know, arrogant about it. That's why we respect him. We stand that.
He's the best, and he wants everyone to know he's the best.
He's the best, exactly. And people believe right. him. That's what makes it worse.
Well, I mean, there's not really much to say about this game other than play the game, get the game. If you haven't played the game, you're doing yourself a big, big disservice. Go play the game. Do it now. PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, and PC. No Xbox. Probably won't be on Xbox.
Yeah, you know how it is. So.
But hey, Matt. So you played a game that there's been a lot of controversy a couple days ago. Care to tell us about that experience?
You want to talk about Suicide Squad?
Oh, yes, sir. Geez.
All right. So if you want a quick review of the game is a 5 out of 10 or below. Like whatever. Like if you want it in words, at best it's forgettable. At worst is below average. If you don't know what that means, you start thinking exactly what I mean. Because if you can forget and not think about it, then that means it's a good thing. If you know it's below average, then people are talking about it. So I was invited to a friend's place to play the game a bit and give it a test run. It's not a good game. It's just there's a reason why this production game went through hell. Okay, I'll leave it as that. I checked at another location to confirm the PC version. The crashes are real. The crashes are real. And then I had to confirm through their Twitter. That's been confirmed that an offline version will come like 3 to 6 months down the roadmap. And I'm like, why isn't that? I can't recommend Suicide Squad as a game. Story-wise, it's just shock value. But even then, shock for nothing means nothing. I have no attachment to it. It's like, oh, wow, you killed a dog. Cool. Oh, wow, you said some curse words. Oh, wow, you referenced trauma. It's like, it just feels so jank. Like, I don't know who wrote this, but I can't. I unironically cannot recommend Suicide Squad at full price. If you want to play this game, if you want to throw Warner Brothers your money for some magical reason, you're free to do that. You know, everyone can throw their money to a toilet if they want to. Buy this game on sale. I cannot recommend this game at full price. If this game is priced at $30 or less, it's a pickup. Otherwise, ignore it. Don't do it. Even if you have it on the Game Pass, don't even give the Game Pass server, all right? Don't do that, okay? Don't even do that. Just ignore it until it becomes cheaper. It's just not good on like multiple levels. It's not good. If you input the grenade effect right there, Keith, like blah, not good. That's it. Just it's not good.
Wow. Okay. Is the gameplay at least worthwhile?
What part I'm not good? You're not understanding here. Look at you trying to save the server.
You're saying the whole package. Like it's. I'm trying to find any redeeming qualities.
You see, look at you. You're removing your tongue from the ball. I said not good. That's it. Not good.
I'd say the biggest redeeming quality is probably the world not building good. It has in the actual game because there's a lot of environmental storytelling. But I don't know much other than that because I only played the alpha.
You can get that by reading a comic book, like. You know, like Carl was doing.
No, yeah, but like honestly, 90% of gamers aren't going to read comic books to understand the lore.
Yeah, exactly. That's Suicide Squad
they killed the Justice League.
I know. They got to be illiterate, you know? You prove the point.
There is no Spider-Man in Justice League.
Give me the down. Carl. I told you. Give me those pictures of Spider-Man. The gameplay loop is pretty middling. It's okay. But after like an hour and a half of doing it, it gets pretty droning. There isn't much like mixture between it. The best way to describe it is Grand Blue Fantasy has a better loop of its content of what you're doing than this game. And if both are doing the same thing, go to room and punch stuff. This one makes me go sleepy when I punch stuff. Yeah, that's well,
Sorry, I don't buy. I don't buy DC.
Exactly. I'm sorry. I don't buy.
I thought you were actually show a DC thing.
I'm literally here with a bunch of comics, and it's like,
no, this just said turtles are coming to kill the Justice League.
Look, no, the closest thing I have to a video game in the comic book form is there you go. Turtles versus Street
Fighter. But no, the only redeeming quality this game has is the production value is very high, which is like considered standard of bar should be. I mean, you're making a game based on properties; it should have some good production value.
And it's Rocksteady Studios, so at least
the former Rocksteady Studios, all those guys left the room, man. It's done.
The artwork and the styling is very the Arkham universe that Rocksteady is known for. So it looks good, but that's about it from what everybody's been saying.
Yeah, that's about it. The gameplay loop is just weaker compared to like another game that does it the same, like Grand Blue. Like I said, after an hour playing it, I just went numb, and that's bad because Scott and I talk about Grand Blue a lot, and you just keep playing Grand Blue. Look at the amount of choices you can make per character, how to build and what skills you use, whatever you want that. I don't feel any of that in Justice League I was playing. I just made number go up. That's all I really did. I just made number go up. That's all I mostly did.
So you're saying it's the stereotypical games as a live service
model. Yeah, basically. Oh, yeah, basically. Weapon. Yeah. You can glide in the air. You can jumpy jump. You can do open world travel like that other game that really good one called Spider-Man. I never heard of this. An indie developer called Marvel made it, but you know how they are. But yeah, that's really it. I honestly give this game below a 5 out of 10. I will recommend buying it on sale. I don't know what. Like I said, that's the 2 podcasts. It was 2 podcasts ago.
So give it like a year or two when it hits like 15, 20 bucks, like Gotham Knights has.
And like I said, this podcast ago, I wish this game was never made. If this game was never made, Rocksteady was to be a company that we could make brilliant stuff out of. That's all I could say. I wish this game was never made.
Believe me, you're not the only one who wishes that. That would be just about everybody who has seen the Batman death from that game as well. Which never existed.
I would not. I felt numb when I saw it. I was like, wow, this is it. This is the big shocker. What shock development? Let me go, Tony, give me chopped cheese, extra sauce. You know what I'm saying? That's all I said.
Now, like I said before, the people that are complaining about this are idiots. I shouldn't say idiots. People who have never read a comic book before and are like, wow, you killed Batman. It's like, how many times has Batman died? How many times has Spider-Man died? How many times has Captain America died? They die. They literally die.
The thing is here though, Keith. Sorry to cut you off on that. It's not so much that the people complaining aren't comic book fans and haven't seen the death of like Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, etc. before. It's the fact that this is tied heavily into the passing of Kevin Conroy, who was the voice of Batman from the animated series and these Rocksteady games.
You know what?
People are upset about that.
Who cares? He played a fictional character.
You're gonna say that to Carl Weathers? You're gonna say the same thing to him?
I love Carl Weathers as a person.
No, not
the same thing. They're talking about a fictional character.
Well, did Carl Weathers play fictional characters? Carl did he play fictional characters? Action Jackson was fictional. Mm-hmm.
I never even watched Action Jackson. I'm talking about Carl Weathers, the guy who was amazing on and off the screen.
At the end of the day, the people.
I don't care if Batman died. If you ask me, am I sad that Kevin Conroy died? Yes, but I don't give a rat's ass if Batman died. Whoop the freaking do!
Yeah.
If you can't separate fiction from reality, then that's your problem.
That's true, but at the same time, with the people who are seeing that, and I said the exact same thing in our Discord when it first popped up. One, it's called Kill the Justice League. So of course you're gonna be killing the Justice League. It's in the goddamn title. And so, second, character deaths happen all the time in comic books. Happen a million times for many different characters. But those that are going, oh, this is spoiling Kevin Conroy's legacy as Batman. No, you're the one who is trying to disrespect the man's legacy. You're trying to, exactly. to tie the events in, like, this is what killed him. No. Kevin Conroy is one of the best voice actors, if not, like, the voice of Batman for many of our childhoods.
Right.
And the fact that he did this role was his choice because he loved the character. He exactly. loved being Batman.
Thank you.
And if you're turning around and saying anything else about the man and his choices, then you are disrespecting his legacy. You are disrespecting what the man has done with his career. Not Rocksteady, not DC, not Warner Brothers. So if you get upset about the way that the character was killed off, then guess what? That makes no big qualms in anything. But if you want to try and use Kevin Conroy's passing as a reason to shit on a video game, then I'm sorry. You are disrespecting Kevin Conroy. You're disrespecting the video game business. And you should just probably put down the controller and go read a book. Preferably a comic
book. Preferably a comic book.
Preferably a comic book, yeah.
Thank you, Minnesota.
I'll send it over. It'll be there in 2 months.
Oh, boy. And that's exactly it. You know, like I told you this year, I'm trying to not go on social media and stress out as much, but this has been one of the controversies, one of the topics that I'm going, guys, you just need to stop this. This is ridiculous. Stop. There, nobody held a gun to Kevin Conroy's head and said, you must play Batman. He looked at the script and was like, you know what? I'm in. Let's go. He had the choice to go. You know what? I don't want to do this role. There are various other people who voice Batman who could have stepped in and done it.
Yep, they could have given wasn't
he also in another thing that just recently also killed Batman too, right before this came out? Like,
yeah, Gotham Knights did too.
Yeah. So,
and supposedly he did do voice lines for the, I think it's Crisis on Infinite Earths animated two-parter that DC is putting out.
Yeah,
supposedly he recorded some lines for the second half of that. So this technically is not his last performance.
And Multiverses is still going to come out eventually.
he didn't
voice Batman that.
But you know, he could have said no, and they could have given the voice role to, you know, Tom Baker, Nolan North, Matt Mercer, the three other guys that seem to be doing voice acting in video games these days.
Exactly.
But yeah, Troy Baker can voice everybody. You know that joke. Yeah. So
We were joking about that, the state of play, which we'll talk about later, and he popped up 2 seconds later.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, man.
So yeah, this whole thing, that's what I'm asking about. I mean, if the game has any merits, fantastic. If it doesn't, then fantastic. But I'm really tired of people crapping on the game because it was tied to Kevin Conroy.
Yep.
Again, like you said, the game is called Kill the Justice League. What the hell did you think was going to happen?
You've got plenty of other things that you could crap on, like the fact that it is games as a service or a live service game, and hopefully this bombing and getting refunded as much as it's been reported, it should make the video game companies wake up and realize people aren't going to buy this bullshit anymore.
We don't want... It's like, the problem is there are so many companies that want a good games as a service because of how it will just constantly basically live by itself. They want the next Fortnite. Yeah. They want the next Genshin Impact type thing.
Yeah, they want the Destiny 2, et cetera. Yeah.
Wait, Destiny 2 is not doing too good. It's about to shut
down. Oh, no, that game died in a corner.
No, it's not going to shut down. It's definitely not going to shut down.
I remember telling Chief like 5 years ago, like, this game sucks. You can't do it. Like, nah, I'll be fine. And here we are, you know, 5 years later. Yeah. So, you know.
I've got a friend who's still playing Destiny 2, and supposedly the next expansion is like the end of their big main story, and then that's where they're stopping things.
Finally, after how many years?
Well, they have to work on Marathon. No.
They're working on Marathon. Yeah, they're running into the ground, you know.
But that's the thing that sort of transitions slightly, though, is games as a service or live service games, everybody wants that next big hit. A thing like Suicide Squad, you would think would actually be one of those type of games.
Well, I know you want to talk about this, but before we do this, can we just have a little discussion on what the actual definition of a live service game is?
Oh, easy. Any game that's dog shit. That's usually the first step.
Usually the first. There's plenty of games that aren't as a service that isn't good.
I know, but that's like the first definition. If it's dog shit, it's most likely. But that's like the first definition.
Okay. Games as a service or live service game is something that you would start out with a base game and then expand upon it over many months and years using not quite like expansion packs or expansion DLC, but more season pass content battle mixed in with but yeah, battle passes, basically bought for currency transactions or microtransactions such as in-game currency, weapons, currency, stuff like that. Basically, it's anything that can be nickel and dime for every little tiny piece of content.
Warcraft does that still.
Yeah. Yes. But the problem with that is that Warcraft at its core is still a subscription service.
Exactly.
Yeah, but MMO the problem games is
people don't differentiate that. They go, this is a game live. I'm like, no, it's not. It's not. I mean, it's a subscription service.
Yeah.
You're still paying for a service. Just you change
a subscription service game is taking a base monthly payment to help the development and upkeep costs of a game. Battle Pass is you pay a little bit of extra money, you get a little bit of extra content for that money. Whereas a subscription service, you are basically paying to keep that thing running.
That's why I asked, because there's literally so many different ways people can take that and bend it. I don't want to stay here all night.
It's funny if you know somebody on the website's working on an article about all this stuff that will be eventually available on the outerhaven.net.
Just
be sure to make sure the first definition of the game has to be dog shit. That's usually the first thing there, okay?
That's usually the result, not the objective.
they're one and the same, right? I mean, if you make a dog shit game, really. It's gonna be dog shit.
I mean, I could make an objective to have a dog shit game, and the result would be a dog shit game. But if I make a competent game, and it turns out to be dog shit, then the result being dog shit
is exactly. So a good example is Warframe.
Yeah,
game is a great game. It's a great game. It's not a dog shit game, Matt. If you haven't played it, you should shut the fuck up.
I mean, I have played it, and next time I will say to you, it became dog shit because at times on. So continue.
Oh, yeah. A better example actually would be Fortnite. Fortnite is a live service game or games as a service.
No, I hate that
game. I know you hate that game, but think about the popularity that it has, the amount of players it has, and the amount of money it makes. That is a successful live service game.
And they folded two franchises into it now, or three.
Which has just been even worse. Lego is not bad, but it's very limited. And the whole rocket racing and rock band mode. Oh, they tanked. They tanked.
I'm sorry, what?
Is it rock band or guitar
Fortnite festival thing,
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, Lord.
The music.
Fortnite's doing a lot of moves. Not all of them good.
Yeah.
No. Basically, when it all came out, like, with Fortnite, like, they gave these extra modes. They gave them for free, but the thing is, in order to get more content, you had to either buy a battle pass, which for whatever you're spending, I think it was like 1,800 V-Bucks, so the equivalent of about $20, you got a content that you would unlock over time. Same thing with usual battle passes. On top of that, you could also buy individual cars, skins, music tracks for the whole thing, etc. That's all part of the thing. The Lego mode went absolutely crazy. It actually surpassed the Battle Royale mode for the first 2 weeks of launch. Now it's dropped down to probably 200,000 players on currently. The other two modes came in. They were great. They did, you know, had a few hundred thousand people. Now they're lucky to have like 2,000 each. So that those modes have been unsuccessful. But when it comes to being a live service game, Fortnite is probably the most successful live service game out there, which is why this model has become so prevalent in gaming, is because companies have seen this, have seen the amount of money that Epic is making with this this type of format, and said, hey, we can do that. And it seems like nobody has yet to perfect the formula or to create something that is mass appeal that Fortnite has. Probably the closest thing to that might be Call of Duty, but that's only because of an established player base that seems to be brainwashed into believing that Call of Duty is still good after all these years.
Jeez, yeah. You have a special kind of brain to believe that.
And like my message to any company out there that's thinking of making a live service or games as a service game, don't.
Make a good people, game. If it gets good enough, maybe people, decide to tack it on.
People are starting to wake up, especially with Suicide Squad being used as a new example. People are waking up that these type of formats are horrible to the consumer. They are sick and tired of being treated like a walking wallet. We are in a worldwide, basically, cost of living crisis. Most major countries have people who are struggling to put food on the table, to keep a roof over their heads, to pay the bills, to keep the lights on. They don't want to be nickeled and dimed through their video games. They want to buy the video game, play the video game, and be entertained. That's the purpose of a game, is to be entertained. Exactly. And if you can't provide that entertainment and your focus is on nickel and diming the customer, guess what? The customer is no longer going to buy that. And the fact that we have refund policies in place through most major companies now means that people will go out. They may buy the game initially.
So let me back up.
They're going to be asking for that refund pretty quickly.
So the refunds, was this just on Steam or was this physical stores as well?
Steam, physical stores, online formats as well.
So what physical stores actually take back a game once it's open now?
A few do. A few
There are a few. Yeah, mom. I can't really speak for the U.S. I can speak for myself here in Australia. EB Games and JB Hi-Fi, which are two of the higher known retailers for video games. JB Hi-Fi will take a game back within 7 days under the Australian consumer law.
Did I miss that? Because once upon a time ago,
EB Games will take back a game within, I think it's 7 to 10 days, depending on what level membership you've got with the company.
See, and that's the thing that frustrates me, because once upon a time ago, we had EB Games here in North America. I'm not sure if we still do, but EB Games...
No, they've all been bought out.
GameStop bought EB Games.
They got bought out, yeah.
It was Funko Land and EB Games... And then it all got bought out by GameStop. Oh, sorry, let me back up. Funko Land, EB Games, and EB Games was basically Electronics Boutique.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Basically the same thing. And when those stores were here, we could buy a brand new game and go, I don't like this. And 7 days, you could take it back. And they would give your money back, and that was it. I guess, eventually they got tired of it being a Netflix where...
I mean, GameStop did it too before they started getting into their... Where they're stupidity. Very money hungry. They had thing that you could pay. I think it was like $5 a month and you could just keep doing it over and over.
Yeah. So basically for returning games, at least from the GameStops I know, gives you between 48 to 72 hours, depending if you played it or not. Some give a week. It's store dependent. Mom and Pop stores, these are the one I've been to. I'm gonna finish this. So the mom pop stores I know to will like be actually, at least the one I know go to. They actually check your account to see you're not BSing them. Like if you beat the game in one day sitting and try to get your money back, that ain't happening. You bought the game, buddy. We test your account for that stuff for that reason. Plus we give you a premium service, allowing you to openly have a game between certain time frames, wink wink. But things like that. So but most game stores I know between 48 to a week. The lowest I've ever seen was 48, and I've seen one store in another part of the city I'm at is like 72 hours. But 48.
Well, that's crazy that you have a Funko Land that at least does that. No,
it's not a Funko Land. These are GameStops.
GameStop. So, lucky you. It ain't happening here.
The GameStop.
Yeah, this is one of the key reasons why I think that a lot of people are like trying to support Suicide Squad, because it's a sunk cost fallacy. Because everyone who's dumped on the game or people who play the game has to put money into it, to be honest with you. I've seen like reviewers and YouTubers, we're going to call these people influencers, whatever, people that like this game is not good. And they say that's good, but people say they play the game, well, who purchased it, who can't get their money back, so they're forced to defend it. I think it's like a sunk cost fallacy for those. But that's just my opinion, why I see people, some of them, quote-unquote, defending it, because it's like, you have to have some special brain rot to defend this game. But, you know, brain rot's brain rot, right?
Some people actually like playing the game, so I don't know
if... I was going to say, like, there are some people
There's people who legitimately like the loop and actually like the combat.
I know, that's why I say brain rot. Like, that's brain rot.
That's just called a preference.
Compared to other things, brain rot.
You're talking to a guy who likes Musos. It is a preference.
Listen, what's wrong with Musos?
Musos.
Nobody likes Musos for some reason. I don't know.
I love them.
They stopped being around. They died in the mid 2000s. It is what it is, man. I play point click adventure games. It's dead too. I just
nobody decided to compete with Koei Tecmo, and now they're the only ones doing it. Those games for some reason.
True. That's true. All right. But all right. So we stayed on the live games to the service, blah, blah, blah. Let's talk about something. Can we switch the bad news with the good news first? Can
we switch the order anyway?
Because let's just talk about the bad stuff at the end of the podcast. It's just a lot of bad stuff.
The
gaming industry is on a big downturn. Bring on the next gaming crash.
It's coming. We'll talk about that next.
The sad part is, unironically, there'll be two gaming crashes that wasn't caused by the Japanese. It was caused by us Westerners. So, you know, irony is a circle, baby. Unironically. Oh, yeah.
The next one's going to be caused by the consumer, not so much by the company.
You think so?
For that one.
Yep, I believe so.
Okay,
because I could tie it all back to exactly what we were just talking about.
The fact that talk about some positivity, some positivity first.
Well, let me get the last one negativity out of the way then.
God, fine, go. Go.
The next video game crash is going to be caused by the consumer. Why? Because we've been dumb enough to allow everything to evolve to the way it is. You know, we are to blame for live service games. We are to blame for the stupidly overpriced season passes. We are to blame for allowing companies to piecemeal games out as pre-order exclusives or, you know, store exclusives or whatever. We are to blame for allowing DLC practices to basically be microtransaction to hell. The consumer is to blame. The companies are only taking advantage of the stupidity of the consumer. That's what's going to cause the next crash.
See, I kind of want to agree with you, but also disagree with you to an extent, because there have been some companies that have tried stuff like that, and the consumer have pushed back, and eventually they did make a change. But the problem is, there's not enough smart consumers out there to balance out the dumb consumers out there.
Correct.
I kind of disagree with that. The consumer does not have as much power as the people who make the shit and control every aspect of it. Even the perfect example, right? Larian Studios does good work, but it's not a lot of Larian Studios, because all gaming companies just want that bread. So how is like studios that actually do the right thing compete people doing the wrong thing? I mean, you keep doing the wrong thing, turns out right. Therefore, here we are. They're the ones who control the meat.
And yet, one of the biggest games in the last 12 months was a game that provided no DLC, no microtransactions, no season passes, no nothing like that.
Right.
Baldur's Gate 3.
That's it, Larian Studios.
And how was that rewarded? Game of the friggin' year all over the joint, and people bought it in the millions.
Yeah, is anyone else doing that? Absolutely not. It's called Chinese. Anomaly, man. No one else is kind of doing that, so, you know.
Then you support the ones that do the right thing. You don't support the ones that, you know.
The thing is that you can't blame the consumer, because it's like, there's no, like, if I support, that's just me. Like, let's say 100 people do it, there's still 9,000 dumb fucks doing dumb fuck things. So, I mean,
which is what I mean by the consumers. You got to remember those that have enough brains in their head to see something stupid and go, hey, I'm not supporting that, is one in 100. For every one smart person, there are 99 dumb idiots. And it's the dumb idiots that make up the bulk of the consumer base. So in that, it is basically, to use business concepts, almost supply and demand in a way. Dumb idiots that want to be the demanding of stupid things like live service games, the company goes, hey, they want to give us our money, therefore, we shall create these dumb things and be rewarded for it, because 99 people will buy it. Who cares about that one person?
He's not wrong on that. He's not wrong on that. And again, anyway, there's nothing we can do about that to stop it. A great example is Call of Duty. Look what it does. I mean, look what it constantly does. Look what the developers constantly
do. It's an institution. That's what I'm saying. It's just like one stick to that.
Yeah, that's brand association, which is a complete.
Yeah, which, you know, more people become topic. More
brand, so. It took a much bigger brand to unseat it finally.
Exactly. You know, it's like, you know, you got the bandages, people think Band-Aid. You know, that's brand association. People think wrestling, they think WWE for some dumb fucking reason.
Yeah, but, God, that's a 5-hour conversation. Oh.
Exactly. That's a whole nother debate that we could have another day. Yeah. So let's all be nice and smiley and be positive for a moment, shall we?
Yeah.
Let's talk about the state of play, which wasn't super positive, but they did show us some games.
Okay, this is typical Microsoft fan. Let's go.
Wrong company. So,
I'm going to use that Microsoft logic against you real quick. So most of the games that were shown during the PlayStation State of Play were already on PC and Xbox or is coming. Dave the Diver, Dragon's Dogma, Helldivers 2, Judas, Legendary Tales is the VR game, Metro Awakening, which is coming out to Quest 2, Quest 3, PC VR. Rise of Ronin is not Silent Hill, the short mentions. I'm not sure if it's coming to other platforms. I heard it was dog shit, so who cares? Sonic X Generations is coming everywhere. Until Dawn, I think it's also coming to the PC. V Rising was already out on the PC. Zen Zone Zero is coming out for the PC. May also be Xbox. I don't remember.
Judas is coming out to just about everything as well.
I think the
only exclusives might be Silent Hill Short Message, but we can't really confirm that. Death Standing. Metro Awakening VR.
Stellar Blade.
We're going to talk about that game. I was getting into it, but basically what I was saying is most of these games are third-party games, and I kind of want it more from this. It wasn't a bad one. I just want it more. Just like when Xbox has one, and it's like, well, great. You could have showed me something better than this, and they didn't. I was happy to see, finally, Death Standing 2 on the beach was finally revealed. Finally. I didn't care too much about Dragon Dogma 2 because I see it every time I turn my head. I don't know what the hell he's doing there. Is he saying walking simulator? He's saying walking simulator.
What do you do? You walk from one side to the other.
You drive bikes
the other way.
You race on tracks. All right, no, let's just talk about the games that I really cared about, and then we'll go from there. Metro Awakening. Matt and I had a civil conversation about this, and I was kind of upset that it was coming out for PlayStation VR, and then found out again it was coming out on Quest. What is it? What the fuck? Whatever it is, Quest 2 or Metro. What is the official name? Media Quest 2, Media Quest 3, and PC VR. So like I said, it has to come out on other VR platforms to make a difference. And it is. So, great. Rise of the Ronin, I'm looking forward to. But again, it's Koei Tecmo, and I'm not really sure what to expect from that. You know, the people that gave us Neo 1 and 2. You know, so... yeah, we'll see about that. But Stellar Blade, can I be honest and say it kind of reminds me a little bit of Nier Automata?
No, yeah, it does.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where the character archetype was taken from. Yeah,
I mean, that's one of the reasons I'm excited. I love Nier Automata, so I don't know why people are like, this is the same thing. It's like, cool.
The vending machines and the secondary quest. Like, I love that game. I imported that game because we had no idea that it was coming over here. So I was like, fuck it. I'm going to buy it. And then months later, it came out over here. I was like, all right, great.
Anime stereotypes in tight clothing, swinging swords, and shooting guns. Nah, it's nothing like it.
Wow. Not at all. Sorry. I'm stupid. what was I thinking?
Man, that looks more like Remnant from the Ashes, okay?
This is going to be PlayStation.
The modern one.
Holy crap. Scott, take it away. I know you're looking forward to this game.
I'm really looking forward to Stellar Blade. I am interested. It's really interesting because what they did in this state of play is they went over basically all the side stuff you do. They did like nothing of the story. They did all like the, this is the side quest. These are the side activities. These is what happens. This is how combat works. This is how the HUD looks. I think my favorite thing about this is something that I kind of complain about when we do get to see some gameplay trailers is they will remove the HUD. They remove a lot of things from like the actual experience of playing the game. So that they just like, this is how it looks in motion as they're watching, like, be cool. But you don't actually see how the game plays. You see how it looks if you're like in like a photo mode or something, but that's not how it plays. They let us see the entire HUD. They get to see menus. They let us see how boss fights look and how like what's going to be taken over the screen. They showed a lot of how this game is going to look while you're playing the game. They want you to play this game. They don't want you to watch this game.
Yeah, they did this thing called honesty, where it showed it was not some magical BS, it was not some, you know, clip reel, it wasn't this vertical slice, this was exactly the game, 100 Princess Purity. And even though I'm probably going to get the game because I'm a huge sucker for character action games, like, yo, this looks lit. Finally, there's some honesty on the board, compared to some other people. Shoot.
Yeah, I think Keith was even making fun of the game before this one, because it's like, this is taken footage from the PC. Like, all these games are taken footage from the PC. Stellar Blade is the only one, I think, that actually said it's taken footage from the PS5. Like,
because it's not on
PS5
the PC.
Native.
Yeah, it had to be. Yeah, it was like, oh, look at this. Like you said, oh, this is PC. Like, okay, well, can we see them for PlayStation? Oh, hey, PlayStation Stellar 5. Blade, fantastic. Yes. Here we go.
I just want to say something quickly. So you said that they didn't want you to watch this particular game. Then why is like every third shot like a character's ass right in the middle of frame?
Because that's how you play the game.
If I had to watch
how many outfits she has,
it would be like a female man.
I know
that.
They showed like 7 or 8 different outfits just in this trailer alone of her.
Oh yeah,
like cosmetics confirmed.
Exactly.
Like we were making, like, we were having a good laugh over this while it was playing the first time. Like we were riffing the hell out of it and just making so many jokes. But it's like this really is like this dystopian anime world where it's like you've got your dummy mommy, you got your waifus, you've got your underage lollies, you got a little bit for everybody.
You got your tropes.
Yeah, you got your tropes. You got the cyberpunks and all that.
The only problem I have with this game is I don't know about this company's ability to give a good action game.
Yeah,
nobody that I'm familiar with is attached to this game.
All of these
Shift Up developers have all basically been gacha games. So this is the first time they're doing a console game, which will be interesting to see how that kind of correlates. Because if you see like their most popular gacha game, which is Nikki, a lot of people know the game because of, well, the ads, first off. But second off, because of just how the game plays, is it's a third person shooter, but instead of over the shoulder, it's over the butt.
Yeah. Finally, for the future.
Yeah. I will give it this. I'm actually rewatching the trailer offside here, and like it looks absolutely phenomenal. Like the amount of like the graphic quality and the amount of sort of different things that they put into each shot is truly, truly spectacular. Like just off the looks alone, this looks like it'd be worth at least like it's going to be really good once it hits streamers and they're going to be playing the crap out of this.
Yes.
But I want to know more.
Playing the heck out of this or doing other things?
Well, you know the type of streamers that will be playing this will be the ones that are sitting in their chair with their tits out to here.
We're not doing that.
I was thinking you're going the whole we're going to speed run the game with one hand.
No, that's the males. But like I want to know more of the story at this point.
Yeah, that was like, my criticism is we got everything surrounding the story, but not the story. Here's the side quest. Yeah. Here's the characters you meet.
You
here's
mean
this.
People are excited about a game that we don't know about a story?
Yes. Thing is, that's what's ultimately going to sell me on this is going to be the story.
Yeah.
Because I'm interested in like the looks of the characters, looks of the environmental design, the enemy design is wow.
Yes.
Insane.
Yeah.
If the combat is anything, like I get very big what was the Metal Gear game with Raiden, not two, the other one.
Rising.
I get Metal Gear Rising vibes from the combat in this. if they can do something that is that intense, that action packed, I'll try and find some money for it. Like, now, but I just want a little bit more. I want to know a little bit about the stories and why I should care about these characters at this point. You've sold me on the gameplay. You've sold me on the looks. Now sell me on the story.
You know what? To be honest, I really don't care as long as the action is good. I can play a game that has nothing but great action. And
Devil May Cry exists. That's my opinion.
Well, it does. It does. And I love that.
Devil May Cry has a story.
Devil May Cry does not have a story.
Not much of it, story,
bro. Not much of it. Story is its vibe.
I mean, there you go. That's all that needs to have. Then it's
just that's a story. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Pretend it's not a story. Okay, you have two goofballs. One motivated. One went pizza. And here we go. That's the game. Come on, get out of here.
Don't forget
the last rocking soundtrack.
There's
fun
involved. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I played Devil Trigger so much once I played Devil May Cry 5 because that exactly soundtrack is just a bop.
Yeah, that's it. That's literally it. That's the game. You pick Pizza Man or Motivated Man, and then boom, 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 game's done.
Hey, look, I would battle demons for some pizza, all right? That is a very Dante relatable does story.
Very relatable. That's it. That's the plot.
Anyway, getting back to this game, I am looking forward to it. Like you said, I really don't care about the story too much. I mean, it is what it is. Action is more important. Gameplay has to be there. I mean, I play dungeons and games that doesn't have a story. I really don't care. As long as the combat is enjoyable and it doesn't get stale, I'll play it. End of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited for it. I think that was the one I was most excited for. So. Of the state of play, at least.
I was actually also excited for, you know, Dave the Diver. But like I said, it's everywhere else. But I was like, oh, it's coming to another platform. Fantastic.
Yep. With everyone
Godzilla
plays. We
with
all
Godzilla.
With Godzilla. Godzilla, yeah, right? It's like, what was that about? I don't know. It's got Godzilla. Okay, whatever. Cool.
Hasn't that had crossovers with other media?
With, they had it with well? Dredge.
Mm, yeah, yep. That's yeah, right. Yeah. I think that was the last time I saw it. I think that was the Game Awards or something. They announced mm-hmm. they were doing something with Dredge. It's good to see that there's still some room left in the market for some good old, 8-bit style gaming.
Yeah.
There's always going to be there. As long as there's people like us who appreciate that, it's always going to be there. And we lost Matthew.
Does
yeah,
he have Discord
up? I think he has to take a phone call.
Oh,
gonna have to fix that anyway. As long as there's people like us who appreciate the art style and appreciate the fact that the gameplay is king, then we're always going to see games like that. I don't have a problem with 8-bit and 16-bit style games or, you know, pixel style games. It's just when people start doing it for no reason, it's like, why? You don't have to follow this trend. As long as the gameplay is there, then fantastic. Dave the Diver is a fantastic game. No, people should jump on that. It will probably be better. Oh. It probably be just as fantastic if it wasn't in that kind of pixelated art style.
Yeah, honestly, I have no issues at all with pixels. Sometimes, like, my favorite games are pixels. Like, heck, last year, like, my favorite game was Sea of Stars. So, you know, pixel games can be great.
I know that you were excited about Judas, Kyle, Jesus Christ, Carl. Jeez, too many K's in this place. We got Keith, we got Kyle, we got Carl. God.
Quick, Sean, Scott, change your name to a K name. Go. Yeah.
You were saying that this is basically a BioShock in space, and then we found out that it was Kevin Levine's studio working on the game. Thoughts? Are you still super...
I'm very excited for this. BioShock is a big thing for me and my wife, and also one of our best friends as well. It's one of those game series that it got better over time. Like, it's very rare to see a game that does a trilogy that is actually starts out good and gets better. The fact that Kevin Levine and his little group of his guys left, was 2K. Whatever it was. And I forgot all about that, to be honest, because like I've been sitting here waiting for BioShock 4 like crazy. And then all of a sudden to see this pop up, I'm like, okay, I recognize that art style. I recognize that gameplay. This is basically BioShock in a new format. You know, it's like, you know, Fune doing, you know, Mega Man and Mighty No. 9, except it's actually going to be good.
Thank you.
Except he's going the other way.
That game. Thank you very much.
But yeah, look, I saw the trailer. I showed it to my wife, Rachel. She's like, yes, we need to buy this day one. You're going to buy this day one. I'm like, okay, calm down. She is a big BioShock fan. I don't know if you can really sort of see it in the background there. We got like pop vinyls of the Big Daddy. And
no Funko Pops.
they're one of few that are going to survive the purge of Funkos that is incoming in my house. But yeah, very much looking forward to this. It's going to be interesting to see how the new, we're not calling them plasmids, work. Because basically, like, it just looks like a digital version of plasmids that they're going to be using. And, you know, you've got your electric powers, you've got some sort of pulling whip and all that type of stuff. You've got sort of that 1940s, 50s art style to it, as it is with BioShock. I just hope they craft a really good story to go along with that gameplay, because once again, like, this was the whole thing with a lot of what happened with the state of play, is that they sold me on gameplay. I'm one of these guys that believes that while gameplay is king, I will give that to you, Keith, before you start go at me and saying that I'm wrong. Gameplay is king, and it's what keeps us motivated.
Insurance is king.
Mixed in with, you know, king is king, and he'll pile drive you if you don't agree. Anyway,
what about the female king from King of Fighters?
great fireballs. Wish they gave her more stuff to work with.
Yeah, but anyway, let's go right way off side there. With a lot of these games, they sold me on gameplay. I believe that if you put gameplay and a good story hand in hand, you're going to have a good game. You're going to have a great game.
Right.
That's where a lot of these games, they've sold me on the gameplay. I just want to know a little bit about the story before I decide if I'm going to drop my anywhere between the $80 to $125 down for these damn things. Gaming is expensive right now, especially here in Australia. Yeah, I don't have enough money to buy everything, so look, they really need to sell me on whether I want to buy them. Gameplay alone, they've sold me. Now give me a little bit of story to make it worthwhile, and I'll have those pre-orders in tomorrow.
Yeah, let's put it this way. Down under, where pre-order. He's at, his entire country is being taxed to oblivion for nothing. I jokingly say to Australia, they're stealing from the poor to eventually give back to somebody. That's how bad rich. Taxes down there. Yeah. It's somebody. I don't know who it is, but somebody. Somebody's getting that money.
Sure as hell ain't me.
It's Spider-Man. If it's just, Spider-Man.
Every iteration of Spider-Man's poor, though. So.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not getting any of that.
It's not what changed, I believe.
Spider-Man wasn't poor.
I mean, Spider-Man wasn't poor.
Miles Morales and his family, they're more middle class than anything else.
The upper middle.
No, I think it's Superior Spider-Man.
Superior Spider-Man.
Doc Ock was
he was living it.
Yeah. But yeah, Judas, looking forward to it. It's definitely going to be one of those games to keep an eye out for, especially if you're a BioShock fan. Like I said, I've got quite a few BioShock obsessed friends. I made sure as soon as I saw this trailer to send it off to them and say, hey, you want something to fill that BioShock void? Same guy, same people. Go for it.
Yeah. Now, forgive me, because, you know, forgive for an old age. Did Kevin work on the last BioShock as well?
Kevin worked on Infinite, yes.
Yes, okay. He worked on Infinite.
I thought there was a lot of conflict between him and
I think that's where it went after that.
Yeah, a lot of people were mad that he was making a video game and not the video game they wanted. That's
because all the BioShock fans just wanted to keep everything in Rapture. They didn't want to expand upon it. And yet, you know, when you look back on it, Infinite is probably the best game in the BioShock series.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, Judas, we'll be looking forward to that as well. That's pretty much the state of play. So now we can talk about the negative things here. So we've been plagued, well, not we, I should say, the game industry has been plagued with tons of layoffs since last year, even before 2023, and it's just getting worse. We came into 2024, Microsoft's like, we're laying people off here. What other companies were like, we're laying off people? It's just like
anybody affiliated with the Embracer Group.
Riot Games.
No. They're not called the Embracer Group. They're called the Eraser Group now. That's what they mean. They're literally
check cleared. So, you know, at this point,
it's just, it's getting ridiculous. And it hurts the developers, obviously. It hurts the companies, obviously. And because these decisions, depending on which company you're talking about, is coming from high up top. And of course, again, I keep saying that the C-suiters, nothing happens to them because, you know, they're just sitting on top of their golden tower and they're just collecting a paycheck and they don't care if they ruin people's lives or destroy a company. And at the same time, you got people who work, or not people who are in the community, the fans are like, wow, the people that really want to support these companies and they're watching some of their favorite developers just disappear. And what sucks even more is sometimes these developers get laid off and they go to another company thinking that, hey, I found a great place to go and work, and they get laid off again. Mm-hmm. And
the issue currently is that this is, I mean, we joked about it earlier, the death of the gaming industry. And it says a whole bunch of things. One thing is that it's the consolidation of a lot of companies. This is why I'm always against acquisitions and mergers in certain fields, because you make the thing smaller. But make this smaller, those on top control your income. They control how things are produced, blah, 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 blah. So they're the ones who could just cut anything off based on what their financial needs are compared to yours. Basically, the needs of the few control the many. That's the thing. So Embracer Group ate up like a whole bunch of companies. I think I want to say as early as 2016, probably even before then. I could be wrong about that. So they got so big to a point that they can cut a few fingernails, so they would consider it and like cause massive ripples and everything else. And show and behold, they'll pick up scabs to do the rest. And this is pretty bad. I jokingly say, don't take the check and be independent. But that even then doesn't keep the food lights on sometimes, because you know. Production goes up, line goes up.
Like I hate to quote a certain website that starts with K and ends in Aku.
Oh yeah, Konami. Yeah,
yeah, Konami. They put out an article earlier this week. Somewhere around about 6,000 layoffs in the first 31 days of this year.
Now, think about that. We're already surpassing what took a majority of last year to get to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
Sad. Yeah. So, like, they did list some as well. The two highest companies with layoffs were Unity Software with around about 1,800 people. And
Microsoft should be
Microsoft with 1,900.
Right. Now, let me stop you for a second before you go any further. Here's the really messed up thing. Somebody on another website had written up a summary of what exactly is going to happen to Microsoft before the merger and how many people they were going to lose. And he was damn near on the money.
Yeah.
In 2022. Like, how did you know what was going to happen in 2022?
It's called hiring managerial businesses. It's what they do. It makes sense. I'm not even joking. Microsoft got the consolidation. They consolidated more companies. They got this company called independent company called Blizzard. They looked at it through. They cut the foot. They trimmed the fat. Those guys are gone. Now they got what they want. This is what was going to happen. This is common sense. When you buy something, you're going to get rid of stuff you're not going to be using there. Even people do it normally. So, it's common sense.
There is actually, if people want to view that, there's a website publish.obsidian.md/vg-layoffs/archive/2024.
That's too big for just wow.
Yeah, I know. I wish they had just like done it cheaper. But for those who are listening along who want to have a look at it as well. They actually list all the companies, how many they've dropped, and like the 2023 list was bad enough. Like, you can go back and look at 2023, 2022, and they give you all the stats on everything.
Google. Jeez. Yeah, I'm looking at it. This is
like the amount of places that dropped. 2023 was bad. Like, 2024 is already a bloodbath.
Airship Syndicate dropped people. That's not boding well for their recent.
Exactly. Yeah. It's one of the, at least, oh God, conspiracy theory mode over here. It's one of the reasons why they made that Wayfinder game that like bombed like nobody's business. You know, that's because they're like, we need to get some cash instantly because, you know, Ruined Kingdoms sell that much and all other games aren't. So we've got like some never ending online game. That's the money. I'm like, oh my Lord. Okay,
and this is the other thing there. And Matt will probably attest to this as well, that when you merge companies or you buy companies out or whatever, the first thing that is going to happen is layoffs, because they're trying to recoup that cost. You know, that's why Embracer Group is doing exactly what they're doing. And it's also why Microsoft has just done what they've done with Activision.
I don't count that with Embracer Group just because.
Oh my God! Are you serious? Are you serious? This is why I call you a bootlicker sometimes. Like, yo, it's the same process. It's literally the same process. They bought a company and they cut the fat off. That's the same thing.
I'm talking about, if you let me fucking talk, thank you very fucking much. I'm talking about the fact they bought companies and they didn't have the capital to do it in the first place, so they shouldn't have done it.
Wow, Embracer companies or Microsoft companies do the same thing before? Come on, it's the same thing. They do the same thing. I do the same thing when I buy stocks. I can't fund it, I just sell it to someone else. Come on, man. Same thing.
Yeah, but like, I can still remember as somebody who was following the Activision Blizzard and Microsoft merger very closely at the time it was happening. Everybody is seeing everybody going, oh, you know, Microsoft's going to save Activision Blizzard. They're going to be the same, best new companies. They're going to be the same. They're going to go back to the old days. Oh, the golden era is back. Next thing you know, 1,900 people are gone. The last remaining OG Blizzard guy who was the head of the company basically went, yeah, I'm out, bye. And now they've replaced him with the one who was running Call of Duty's esports division.
Remember, he left Microsoft because he didn't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Yabba, whatever. And he went to Activision. Yep. And then they got bought out, and he's like, I'm out.
I'm out. And then it's like, oh, here's somebody from our Call of Duty esports division to run Blizzard.
Oh, the same esports division that went under real fast. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you look at Overwatch and Call of Duty, one of them had a good esports division for a time.
And
to be honest, both fumbled them and destroyed their own games.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, and again, this is one of those things that he's probably going to look at starting to add to the whole downfall of gaming, a second or third market crash, depending on how you're looking at it, is the fact that a lot of these companies that have been doing great for many years and now being bought out by other companies, having their staff stripped and then start producing jank. Because let's face it, like, as much as I would agree usually with Matt and about Embracer Group, you know, trying to recoup capital, them losing that $2 billion deal, that's what's caused a lot of their cuts.
Yeah. I just want
I lost the car.
Yeah.
Basically, they took out a loan that they could not afford, and now they're having to pay back or like recoup or whatever they need to do to try and be profitable. And unfortunately, the quickest way to become profitable is to scale back your staff, to scale back your expenses.
Right.
Which sucks, because in the month of January, you know, 6,000 people without jobs in a climate where, you know, people are already doing it hard. Do you think those people are going to find jobs straight away?
No,
they're not going to.
And most of them probably wouldn't have gotten payouts either. Or
the problem, and the problem with that is a lot of people are looking at this and looking at the picture and they're going, well, if this continues to happen, why am I even going to go back into gaming development in the first place?
Yep.
It's too volatile. People are not going to want to keep making decisions. And a lot of these people have families. Now I was like, what am I going to do? Go back to a company that may, or another company that may have the same thing happen to them. There's no reason to anymore. So we lose out on fantastic talent. We have people that are frustrated and have to figure out what they're going to do to take care of themselves and or family. Meanwhile, the people up top are like, whatever.
Yeah, we'll just make another one. Yeah, yeah.
It's terrible.
We'll just push out another Madden game.
Yeah, push on. And the sad part about it is, like, unless these developers get rich enough to make their own studio, take their own venture capital risk, blah, 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 and do it again, it just, that even that's a hard one to sell. So good luck. So, you know, with the imminent crash of the gaming space we talked before, this could be another thing that causes it, because less people are into the gaming space, gaming makes a trash, games make less money, people ditch the gaming sphere, rip gaming on for a while now, because they're all too busy trying to make money that isn't there, that doesn't exist. It's chasing the you know, the Puff the Magic Dragon. Literally, the Magic Dragon doesn't exist. You are not going to make $10 billion out of a $60 game in 1 month. You have to be out of your mind. But they believe that because they're on that magic sauce.
And I also want to add to this, another thing that's causing issues is, and something that we haven't talked about, is the fact that these companies think that we are, or they are in Hollywood. The fact that they're spending outrageous amounts of money to develop games. And it's like, this is ridiculous. Why are we spending $10 billion to make a game?
It's like, called bad scaling. I just call it as
it's terrible. Like, why would you do that? Why would you do that? There's no guarantee you're going to recoup that money. So then you have to scale back. It's like, why would, how, why? Look, I can't fathom that.
Look, I can solve the whole thing quite easily. Stop hiring Troy Baker, Matt Mercer, and Nolan North.
Whoa. Troy Baker can voice everyone. He can voice everyone in this podcast. And you pay him to get everyone in the video game. No, but in all seriousness, it's the higher scope of scale, and they don't know how to recruit that and going out of hand, as well as making smaller projects with tighter shit than do so. It's one of the reasons why, like, Redfall was a piece of shit. That game was just way blown out of budget. Games like that, just because you spent too much on nothing. Like, you wasted your time. You could have just made a smaller, tighter project, but a smaller, tighter project is to reap the revenue cost they want. They want something that's unattainable. This is why live service fits their, you know, their Magic Dragon sauce, because live service to them is infinite money. Therefore, infinite money is good. Rather than just make a game that, you know, sells well and maybe down the line gets a resurgence. Who knows? Rather than just continually have projects to make stuff, they want to make one thing and make it live forever. These are business people who don't know jack about games being in games. NBA developers, as I call them. You got a master's degree in business, but 0 cent brains when it comes to game design and making games. I mean, if you got a problem with that, go ahead and yell at me.
And the problem, and let's look at this. Let's flip this real quick. We got these companies making these multi-million dollar games. Okay, whatever. Now, let's look backwards. Let's look behind us. Let's flip this and look at the indie companies that are working with a fraction of what they have. And look what they're doing. So something's got to be telling you this. I mean, when we have people making a game by themselves, that is kicking some of these companies' ass.
Well, it's like I said before, NBA developers, they're just like, they're people, like, making video games is in some skills a skill. It's a meritocracy, it's ability to do it. And you don't have the ability to do it, so you're trying to make money out of it. There's no point. If you're like, oh God, I think someone from Larian Studios said this a while back, correct me wrong, blah, 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 is like the dumbest game design ever happened to video gaming is making monetary decisions in game design. And I agree. Like, a video game should just be a video game. If it makes money, it makes money. That's it. It should not be about, man, if I make them pay for this extra sword, $10 every chance, I got $10 plus the $56 they paid. Yeah, rub my hands, boy.
But that, like, goes back to what Carl was talking about earlier, because somebody started doing it, and they realize that, hey, this works. They're going to continue to do it.
Right. As time goes on, it works less and less, though.
Remember,
people have learned.
Remember, all this started with $2.50 horse armor.
That's true.
Yeah. That's where you trace it back to. A $2.50 horse armor for some medieval game. I can't remember if it was Skyrim or anything like that. But a $2.50 horse armor is what started all these issues. Trace it back to that one thing.
It's all Bethesda's fault.
It's all Bethesda's fault.
Yeah, like, you know what's weird, too, is that you'd think Warner Brothers would look at the other game that they made last year, that's the number one selling game of last year, and go, wait a minute, we only made this one game. We didn't microtransaction to hell. We didn't make a million things of DLC for it. And then we made Kill Justice League, and which one made more money? I don't know.
As I said before, they're chasing that dragon. NBA developers don't think about that. They are so dumb. And I met people like this. They're so stupid, so idiotic, that they have no idea. They're like, oh, yeah, it didn't work this time, but this time it worked. That's what crack addicts do. That's what it is. It's like, you have to be especially stupid to think a bad idea is going to work twice if you fail the first time. Especially stupid.
But going back to what Keith was saying with some of the independent developers, I think probably the best experience that I've seen in the last 12 months personally was RoboCop Rogue City. That wasn't a huge studio behind it. They didn't have a huge budget behind it, yet they managed to put out one probably the best RoboCop game ever done, and it was true to the source material. It had fun gameplay. The graphics were great. And they did it on probably not even a quarter of what AAA big budget titles do.
Carl, Sea of Stars, freaking Pizza Tower. I mean,
yeah,
Blasphemous 1 and 2.
Dave the Diver, Ori. There's all these good indie.
If you know the engines that you're working with, and you have the passion and the ability to put forward, like, good graphics, good gameplay, and you know what you're doing, you can do it for a fraction of the cost. Like, this is the thing, as Keith said, the difference between something that's got a budget of, say, 10, you know, a couple hundred thousand versus millions, why are we seeing AAA companies doing millions in their budget, yet they're still putting out the same type of graphics, gameplay as somebody who does it on 1% of that budget?
Because you're getting away with it.
No, it's because one is stupid, and two, it's like, it's because they're thinking like more is more, and they don't understand that. The reason why is like, because they're against Chase Dragon, these guys are so stupid. It's like, yo, you're all making the same game. It's like, no, let's do it. And it's like, bro, none of you are talented to make so. You NBA developers, none of you are smart enough to make a video game. You're making all the same garbage you stole from freaking, you know, graduate level courses I'm taking right now.
But
you're doing the same exact thing.
But the thing is, outside of licensing costs for the engine, the time that the artists and developers and programmers put in, so pay for their time, outside of stuff like that, like recording, voice acting, and probably the motion capture, where is this money going? Where is this? Like, I'd love to see an actual budget breakdown for something like a $200 million game. Because I want to know where that budget is going. Because if companies can do it on fractions less, why are so many people saying, "Oh, our game costs $200 million and takes 25 years
to complete"? I've always hated that. I've always hated when people say that, because it's just showing me, wow, you waste a lot of money for nothing, huh?
That's it. It's like, where is that waste of money? Where is that money being wasted? Because
it goes towards pizza parties.
Yeah. Pizza parties are great. I agree.
I mean, Sony, right? They're the ones that keep inflating the budgets every time they make.
Sony, Microsoft, all the big companies. Okay. So the part that gets me so pissed off about this, like emotionally and like civility, is that like they're trying to get like make money. Like if I spend like $200 million a game, I expect to make $500 million, and they only make like $100 million. They're like, well, it's done. Like, you shouldn't have spent $200 million. Why'd you scope this hard? Your game is about Jumpman. Why does Jumpman has 20 levels about guns? What is going on here? It's Jumpman. It's just random stupidity. Like, you could have just made Jumpman for about $5 million and then made $100 million. Like, wow, I made, I don't know, 95% of what I usually make. That's really good stuff. But no, we had to make Jumpman $100 million so we could sell $500 million. But it wasn't going to make $500 million because it's Jumpman.
I have to say,
and that's why Nintendo is smarter than all of us, right?
when you said Jumpman, Mario jumped into my head. So yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah. I'm just easy. I'm trying not to get sued by Nintendo here. You know how they are. They would sue you for anything.
It's the thing is with that, we'll never know because there are no company that are making games that use that much money that are going to be 100% transparent. Because if they did, there'll have to be some answers they have to, you know,
they're transparent to the shareholders.
Like,
wait,
so yeah, like what? Why did it cost as much when it could have cost you a fraction of this? What's going on here? Why?
Yeah.
Guys, this is why Sony keeps talking about The Last of Us 1 and 2. We spent bazillions of dollars on this game. We got to remaster and we got to talk about this. We got to bring it back because we need to get that money back.
I don't know. You guys sound like haters. You just don't like Troy Baker. Maybe they love Troy Baker that much. I mean, that's what I saw. Everyone loves Troy Baker. Everyone loves him.
But the thing is, like, at the same time, it's like they spend these big budgets. And then you look at something like the Resident Evil 4 remake. Oh, we're going to put out DLC featuring Ada that basically is just adding her model in, recording some voice lines, and reusing 99% of the assets from the game. Most companies would turn around and go, oh, we're going to charge $30 for that. Capcom said, $10.
Yeah.
Oh, but then Capcom went and said, oh, we don't charge enough for our games. Come on.
It's Capcom.
What are they doing? Dragon Sama cost $70. They figured it out.
No, I was going to say,
I don't give Capcom a pass because the same company that Street Fighter 6 and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Spy Family.
Don't remind me.
Yeah. We didn't charge enough. You charge way too much for Street Fighter 6 stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that was the plan.
We'll give you a pass.
This is the only Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Street Fighter crossover I believe exists.
Wow.
Yeah. That licensing check must come really good. That's all I can say, man.
All right. We've been on here for a while because this one... honey, I need my flame retardant suit because somebody's just going to go on a... Wow. Let's go. Let's go.
Alrighty. You want me to set the stage for this one?
Yes, please.
Alrighty. So months and months ago, there was insider leaks going around saying that Xbox was planning to bring in like Hi-Fi Rush and Sea of Thieves into multi-platform. They're planning on making it Nintendo Switch as well as the PlayStation. A lot of people just took it as rumor, didn't really care about it. Until about 2 weeks ago, there was a beta update for Hi-Fi Rush on Steam that got data mined. And the data mine had two graphics that had a PlayStation shirt and a Nintendo Switch shirt for Chai, the main character of Hi-Fi Rush, which made a lot of people actually go to the insider and find out what kind of information that he had. And a lot of them were basically saying that Hi-Fi Rush is going to be the first of many games that are going to start going to multi-platforms. And the rumor, it's still, take everything this is with a small grain of salt, because again, this is insiders, this is leaks, this is rumors. It's just the data mine is the only, I guess, hardcore thing that is actually true. We have data mine files that have assets of Chai wearing a PlayStation shirt and Chai wearing a Nintendo Switch shirt. Does that mean anything? We don't know. It's still just a beta build. It could be something that goes into the main game that actually will have it. In case you are wondering, Hi-Fi Rush has special shirts based on the platform you buy it on. They have a Steam shirt, they have an Epic Game Store shirt, and they have an Xbox shirt right now in this files.
You know,
so if you buy any of those three things, you get that shirt.
Just me spitballing something, you know. Maybe this game was going to come out for those platforms before, then Microsoft said, no, we own you guys and you can't do this now. And so, oh, well.
It could have just been a developer who decided to drop the files in because of it.
It could have been.
Just for the hell of it.
There's a lot of reasons why that could be it. This isn't a guaranteed thing.
Exactly. This
is the only confirmed thing we know is the assets are real. Was it assets made before the acquisition? We don't know. We don't know how the development of Hi-Fi Rush went because it was a shadow drop. They could have had all these assets already done, already made, and already like basically ready to publish before Microsoft stepped in and said, no, this is Xbox.
And
we don't know that.
people who watch this show or listen to the show, one of the big things about development is if there's something already in there, they don't take it out. How many times have we had games where people data mined something and they went, oh, yeah, that's not happening.
It's just
Ocarina of Time still has its like beta maps in it still. If you look at the game files, I mean, they could have took those out and made a, you know, more condensed version, but something in those files, they want to stay on the cartridge. So
this is why, once again,
I know Keith hates any mention of this game, but look at how much data mining comes out of Fortnite with stuff that the skins and stuff that gets thrown out there going, oh, this is coming. And then the company goes, no, that was just,
I don't really stuff. Hate we, the game. We it's, really... I don't know. It's just me and Unreal Tournament.
It's not your cup of tea. That's fine.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is you can't trust data mine content.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just because the files are there doesn't mean that something's going to happen.
Exactly.
It's one of those things of customer expectation overtaking realization.
This is a big reason why when there's demos of stuff that come out, the PC is left out a lot of times because they know people are going to data mine stuff and they don't want you doing it.
No.
So we get screwed over. Thanks, guys.
PC players don't get demos. And as a kid, I was probably part of that reason. I did some of that stuff with the original StarCraft demo. I data mined. I not just only data mined that, but I also removed the limiter. So I got the full game from the demo. I felt like I was a hacking genius. When I just edited
so it was no you.
It was the you. Person who found out that the full version of Quake was in the Quake demo. Remember those days?
Yes.
Oh. Dude,
those were the days when like data was so small, so we felt like, oh, it was 100 megabytes of data, had like the whole game in it.
What was it? Was it Crash Bandicoot or Spyro where you put in the a code in the demo and it unlocked the full version?
I think it was Spyro.
But yeah, so I guess to continue with the Xbox thing is that because of this kind of not really confirmation, but this happened, more insiders have come out with more information of things that are happening in Microsoft. And right now there is a big internal conflict regarding this question of will more games be multi-platform or will they reside on an Xbox ecosystem? So this is going to basically mean that there isn't a confirmed thing that Xbox is going multi-platform, but there is questions and there is shareholders asking these questions if Microsoft is going to do this because they want more money from it. There are lots of sources and stuff that are basically having people say that based on the various quotes from like Nadella when he talked about that they want games and more consoles, plural, that it was also hinting at the multi-platform strategy that they're thinking of doing with more games that they have ownership of. Now again, salt. This is leaks, rumors, and insiders. Oh, they are not always 100% accurate. Yeah. But the fact that this is still burning such a fire with more insiders and more information means that there might be something to this. What is to it, we don't know. Are they going to bring Sea of Thieves to multi-platform because it's an online game that requires more players playing it for it to keep life? Is it going to be a Hi-Fi Rush incident where it's a game where they already had a build of a multi-platform build in the game that they could just launch for an extra bit of money? Are we going to actually see some of the games that had multiple builds go to multiple platforms because they were already built for those platforms before the acquisition happened? There are people saying that Starfield already had a PS5 build before because Bethesda had the PS5 dev kit when they were making Starfield. So there's lots of gray area in this, and there's lots of questions that come from it. Ultimately, we don't have definitive answers on is Xbox going to go multi-platform with some of these titles, and if so, why? But we do know that the internal conflict is a real thing. These questions are being asked. We do know that there is data meaning having taken place that does have hints of different builds of the game being processed. This doesn't mean it's going to be a sure thing that they're going multi-platform. This is just, it could be a thing.
I feel
Is this the sort of the same reason why I'm seeing a whole heap of things coming up today about
the Xbox community.
Indiana Jones possibly going to PS5.
Oh yes.
There was a
PlayStation.
It could also just be Bethesda, right?
Before it got acquired.
It could be Bethesda because they might be making a stink about, well, why does Activision Blizzard's games have to be third go everywhere, but we don't.
Yeah, right. there was internal conflict is going on, and I think that is also part of it.
Well, hell, if we're gonna move Bethesda and Activision, why not just freaking make the whole thing? You know, who cares?
Like, right. I think it's also too, if the internal conflict is happening, it also points out something that I noticing from Scott's report is that the developers feel like that they're worth it getting paid isn't worth it being exclusive. They would rather get a secondary tertiary check from other platforms or avenues rather than just solely depend on one person. So that's why they make their games multi-platforms. And then when the boss man, if the boss man says no, then, you know, get effed. But it seems like it's more like it could be a monetary issue where Hi-Fi Rush snuck up on everybody. I think Hi-Fi Rush is a good game. I'm not going to deny that. But it's like if it was on more platforms during its hype, it could maybe pull an extra 7-10 million easy. Is that a safe adjustment?
Xbox Game Pass would have helped it a lot more too.
I mean, Xbox Game Pass is already a waste anyway. I mean, you know what it is. I mean, you're not even helping developers. Just buy it naturally. I mean, I was on Sean's podcast on why you should just buy a developer to help them. Give them money.
Meanwhile, Twitter and every other
Twitter is on fire with this information.
The people are going back and forth, and it's like, we have no solid information. Could you just please just relax? But this is what Twitter does. This is what Reddit does. I mean, this is what various other websites and communities do. They don't have information and they run with it, and then things catch on fire really fast.
Yep.
Right, Nintendo Switch Pro. I'm never letting that go.
And I think, like I said, like the internet's running wild on it. But my opinion is that it feels like the developers internally who makes these games are like do want other avenues of revenue, and they're locked to a certain contract with the boss man of Bethesda. So it could be detrimental to them, which hurts them in some degree. Like sometimes the game just catches hotness, and if that game is unable to expand its avenues and other ways to get revenue, then you know they're gonna get screwed over, and the hotness is gone. It just hurts. It's one of those things that go like, dang, man. But you know, you signed that contract, so, you know, no one to blame.
But it's also the fact that if customer, how do I explain this one? Basically, people have the stupid inane ability to overhype themselves over things that are absolutely not real. They have things that they wish that they were real. And they want it to be real so badly that they will take any tiny little piece of information and blow it up to a gigantic scale, saying, hey, this is what's going to happen because, you know, my dad's uncle's brother, cousins, whatever, said this on Twitter. You know, and all of a sudden you got millions of people going, oh, wow, that's a great idea. It's so going to be real. It's so going to happen. And, you know, and in the end, that's like, oh, it was just a little bit of extra junk data in a game.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, but you said you... No, we never said anything. You
lied to me, mate!
you made assumptions based on very limited data.
Yep. Yes, look, my community services teacher had a great saying. Assumptions make an ass out of you and me. That's the way I always see it when these type of things come around, when somebody takes a tiny bit of information or a tiny bit of something that was data mined out of a game or something like that and turns it into this is what's going to happen. Because until the company announces this is what's going to happen, you don't know shit. And you're basing it off one tiny little thing that might not even be related to what's going to actually happen. Matt? You and I are wrestling fans. It's WrestleMania season. We're used to this shit. This is what happens every year.
It's happening.
The tiniest thing.
Yeah, don't worry. Quentin, I'm sorry, baby.
You know, the women's rumble last month, you know, Mercedes Moné was going to come back.
Yeah, she was
number 30. Lee was going to come back at 30 because they saw her training with CM Punk in a fucking 2-second clip. Same thing in the gaming industry. They see one little thing that was taken out of a game and blow it up to mean a million and one other things. Like, shit, World of Warcraft added files in that were PlayStation controller icons.
Yes.
All of a sudden, everybody, oh my God, World of Warcraft's coming to PlayStation and Xbox and this because they added controller support to the PC, you fuckwits. That's all it was.
Remember, Microsoft likes the DualSense, so they actually are good with getting support on the PC for the DualSense, which is good because DualShock sucks on PC.
This was done way before the merger was even a thing.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's what I mean by people taking tiniest things that have been data mined and blowing it up into something that it's not going to be. And then when they are disappointed that the thing that they believe in their heads doesn't come to pass, they blame the company and the people who had nothing to do with it.
Oh, come on, man. This is the gaming industry. This is what people do. There's no logic here. They just do this. They see something and they go, oh my God, this is happening. This is true. Well, what proof do you have? Like, what makes me mad? What really makes me mad? And I really wish there were repercussions for this is when we see these people from these major websites or major organizations go, oh, this is happening, blah, blah, blah. Where's your proof, bro? Where's your source?
This one article from this one insider that's now deleted.
Where did this happen? Where is your proof? And then when they're wrong, they get off scot-free. Like, no, you said this was happening. Where is it?
So once again, Matt, you'll get the reference. So basically, the entire gaming industry is Dave Meltzer.
Oh, God. You know, I'm not feeling well, too. I'm trying to hold it in. Oh.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, non-wrestling fans, Dave Meltzer is a wrestling journalist who has a lot of sources. Yes, I'm doing finger quotes, Matt. I don't know if you can see it. A lot of sources for his information, but he can never reveal anything that he's ever, you know, he can't reveal the sources or anything like that. No, you know, and it's the same in the game industry. He's, you know, I swear gamers are probably some of the most gullible and dumbest people on the planet. I'm sorry if you feel called out about that, but if you feel called out about it, you're probably the problem.
I feel called out about that.
Then you're the problem.
Do you know how many giveaways I enter that are fake?
No. Because remember, and like I'm going to make some assumptions here, and excuse me if I make the wrong ones, but Keith and Sean in particular and myself, we are of the older persuasion. We can remember the days of going to the arcade and hearing the, hey, did you know about this code for this game that my cousin's uncle, brothers, who works for this company, said that if you did this on the arcade, you could get that?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, do you remember my Shenlong? My uncle worked at
Nintendo.
And how you did it in Street Fighter 2. Holy shit. The entire industry went crazy over that. It was a mistranslation, guys.
And remember, Tomb Raider 1? Tomb Raider 1 on PlayStation and PC has a nude code, man. Because my uncle's brother's cousin's uncle worked on the game.
Yo, man, it's all like, yeah.
His third cousin removed uncle's brother's sister.
How many people bought that game thinking that they could get that
nude code? No, it was more than one, and that is the problem.
The stupid thing is now, thanks to how good modders are, that could actually put shit in PlayStation.
I don't need a new code. I'll just make this nude mod.
Yeah.
But, like, that's the thing. Like, ever since gaming, like, going back to the old school arcade days, there have always been rumors and stupid things that you would hear either on the playground or you'd hear through magazines that were never true. And yet gamers will buy it by the bucket load. And it has not changed in five decades since gaming came back in the 90s, 80s. Gamers are still some of the most gullible and dumb people on the planet. So once again, I'm sorry if you feel called out, but if you feel called out, then you're the dumbass. Love you, Keith.
We can just talk about this till tomorrow, but this is just unfortunately you know, and the last part about this piece is people are going, hey, is Xbox going to make consoles anymore, or do we need to buy an Xbox anymore? They literally told you they're still going to make consoles, at least for the next generation. What?
And people were saying, you know, what's the point of getting Game Pass now if something's just going to be on all platforms?
Because you could play Game Pass.
That was always the
appeal of Game Pass. Game Pass you the console, not the console sold you Game Pass.
Yeah, I mean, you could just buy games the old-fashioned way. That's just, you know, us old heads
do. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. Physical games are disappearing. Yeah.
Go to your local Walmart.
You'll find it's empty.
God, man, I'm just gonna miss. My old behind's
And once again, this is one of those rumors. You know, GameStop's gonna stop stocking physical games.
I don't know
they're gonna turn into a Funko Pop store only.
One guy who was on Twitter was like, Best Buy's gonna stop selling games, physical games. I went to every Best Buy near me. It was like, no, we're still selling games, and took pictures. Like, where'd you get this from?
Twitter. Oh, that explains everything.
Yeah, Twitter.
If anything, games are the only thing that's been delaying that, because everything else is going that way where they're not selling.
Yeah, soundtrack CDs, you have DVDs, Blu-ray, movies. Those are all.
I actually surprised some people the other day because Disney has pulled physical media support out of Australia. At the end of last year, Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is the last piece of Disney media that will be released in my country. Everything else from here on out is digital. So guess what? I've been going around to all the nice little cheap secondhand charity shops. I've been getting my hands on every single Disney physical.
We keep saying we're going to have a podcast about that, so we should probably do that next
I buy up all the Disney stuff, and now I'm going to resell it at over prices.
You're one of them.
Yes.
You get paid somehow, right?
Scott, it's called entrepreneurship.
Good old USA.
I like business. I'm business.
He's one of them.
Yeah, he's one of them. He's got to get paid somehow.
Damn right.
Damn right. Got a mosey up on here, right, buddy?
Yeah, it's time to get out of here.
Don't believe rumors until they're actually confirmed.
Yep.
All right, so we're not going to talk about the possibilities of what happens if it happens or anything?
I'm getting a platinum trophy for Hi-Fi Rush as soon as that thing comes on PlayStation. That's all I'm going to say.
I was going to end this with a good segment, you know,
if they put Sunset Overdrive on PlayStation, I'll buy it.
Yeah.
But they can't. Yeah.
I'll get the platinum trophy for that, too.
Hell yeah.
When he put Grand Blue Fantasy Rising, best fighting game of the year, on the Steam, I guess I'll buy it then too. You know how it is.
If you guys are gonna start Grand Blue Fantasy again, I've got half a comic book left to read.
If you don't know who Public Enemy is, you should go find out. They made an amazing song that is perfect for this segment. Don't believe
Public
the hype.
Enemy. That was a horrible WCW tag team.
Oh my god.
Let me tell you, back in my day, it was a company called WCW.
WCW.
Hell no.
But no, Sean, go ahead. We did say we were going to talk about this, so go ahead.
I mean, I don't really care about whether the game winds up on PS5 or whatever. I have all the consoles. I don't really give a shit. The only thing that matters to me is what happens to the stuff that I already bought on my Xbox. If Xbox decides that, or Microsoft decides that they don't want to make Xboxes anymore, are they going to refund me like Google, or are they just going to let all that shit die and you're fucked? And
I mean,
you know, that's the only thing I'm worried about. Like, you know,
if that happens, it's a you problem.
Hold on. I can answer this question for you, Sean. Have they refunded you for anything that you bought on Xbox One or Xbox 360 digitally?
I still have that. I can still use it. What do you think?
Yeah, that's the point.
There
we go. That's the point, buddy.
I'm still using it on Series X right now. That's what I'm saying, though. Like,
what I was going to say is, it sounds like the same question that people keep saying about Steam. Hey, if Steam goes under, are they going to refund me? No, they're not going to.
This is why people need to learn how to read terms and conditions.
But it's like 70 pages long.
They're gonna go, bro. Yeah. You had thousands of hours of enjoyment, entertainment. You've got your money's worth. Sorry.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It sucks.
You don't owe anything. What a great timeline.
Yep. If you want to get anything digitally, if you don't read the EULA or the terms and conditions of sale, and you don't like something or something it's taken from you and you demand a refund, go back and read it, and you should have turned around and said no the first time. Pretty simple.
And
learn to read.
I love how the people champion, you know, they can't do that to me if I buy the game physically. And
yeah, they can.
I mean, waiting for them to go, you know, we delisted this game on, you know, every online system there is. And just because you own the disc doesn't mean I can't put a patch that says, oh, this game is no longer playable on this console.
That's what offline mode is for.
That's offline for, yeah. Which, you know, for Suicide Squad comes between 3 to 6 months from now. So
I've got copies of Deadpool on PS3 and PS4.
Remember that?
Because they pulled that off digitally, and I went, no, I want that game, so I'm going to buy it physically. You can't take my physical copy off me.
They pulled it off, and then it came back, and then whatever happened after that?
They've kept it on. I believe it's still up for sale now because they did a new deal with High Moon or Marvel or whatever it was.
Whoever the licensing problem they had.
The other example, remember the PT trailer?
Good luck, PS4 still has that.
Now you can go buy PS3s with that thing in it.
Mm-hmm. I've still got that on a spare PS4. I should sell that for a couple of $100.
Didn't PlayStation get mad at people for doing that?
Yeah, they did, but they couldn't stop it. They couldn't stop it.
The reason my PS4 is so valuable is because of the PT demo as well as the Platinum demo for Final Fantasy 15.
good old 15.
But you can't re-download that though, right?
No, you can't.
No. So PT, once your drive goes kaput, you're screwed.
Yeah, yes. You got to move it over yourself.
so you can't even move it.
I can't move it.
I tried moving it onto my PS5. It said no.
Oh, well, yeah, you can't move it to the PS5. I can just move it to an external drive.
Yeah.
Good old technology.
Yeah, I can't use any of that on the PS5 because it doesn't recognize it as a PS5 playable thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's it.
That's why the PS4 is only 99% backwards compatible.
99.9. It's just this one demo that you can't use ever.
All right, folks. It is 10:05. Some of us got to go to work in the morning. That being me. Yes. And
yeah,
we're ending the show on a positive feeling thing. Okay? We're going to wish all the people that have no common sense a little bit of our logic and common sense, and maybe the world will be a better place.
You might want to dial that back a bit.
What the fuck is that, Carl?
Yeah,
that's Grizzlaw.
I can't remember his name.
That's Grizzlaw. Yeah,
Grizzlaw.
That's Grizzly. Yeah,
yeah. A proper 1988 Grizzlaw.
Speaking of that, go check out Carl's review of He-Man Revolution on theOuterHaven.net. He's a big He-Man fan, and he was not impressed about that TV show.
Well, in a way, yes and no. It ended up being middle ground if you actually read the review.
Go read it. We're not going to talk about it. We're going home. We're leaving.
It's the previous seasons where I absolutely destroy the shit out of it.
Good old Mark Hamill. Or Mark Hammond. Yeah. I love him. Anyway, thanks for checking out Spectator Mode Podcast. As always, you can find us wherever great podcasts are: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Buzzsprout, and wherever great podcasts are. Mm-hmm. Also, check us out on YouTube whenever this gets put up there. It'll probably be in the next 2 days because, you know, encoding is always fun. And as always, check us out at theOuterHaven.net. We got a lot of cool videos and do a lot of streaming stuff on there. And, you know, maybe you stop by and subscribe to our channel and help a small channel raise the lofty expectations.
Our goal this year is come chat to us on Twitter.
And talk to us on Twitter. We like talking. Yeah. I'm the only one on Twitter talking now. Come talk to me on Twitter. I'm lonely.
That's because I lost the password.
That's because I lost the password. Well, once we get Carl a password, he can also talk on Twitter. But that's it. Thanks for checking us out. Myself, Carl, Scott, Sean, and Get Salius. It's always Spectator Mode is always fun, full of chaos. Fun, full of chaos. That should be a new tagline. Anyway, thanks for watching, folks, and we'll see you next time.
Chaos! Yay!
See ya!